Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Kevin. Well, I mean, the scenario that Matt Miller points out, obviously he is, but it, you know, teams are going to take quarterbacks too early. Like, I think Ty Simpson at 5 would be way too early, but what do I know? Arvell Reese, that seems to make sense. Tyson makes sense. An offensive tackle for the Giants makes sense.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did they had Arvell Reese ahead of Reuben Bang?
Yeah.
Wow.
No.
Okay.
At six to the Saints.
I guess his versatility plays into that, like him as an off-ball and edge, but wow.
Now, okay. I mean, I would say, right, Bane can play like a 4-3 edge.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, like 265, 270?
Yeah.
He can also kick down inside, right, teams like do, like what the Giants used to call their NASCAR package, what other teams have kind of done where you kick in an edge pass rusher inside to get a little more juice off the out of the inside, at, whether it's three technique or what have you. But Bane, okay, out of Miami, and again, I confused, I guess, you and Denton. Denton is really, really super duper, uber high on him.
I mean, yeah.
You have a healthy respect for him, like him. You know, good, all that, great. Three sacks, 40 pressures, first time to pressure. I'm sorry, time to first pressure of 2.58 seconds this season. Again, well, he's actually listed at 275. I didn't realize he was that big.
Yes.
Miller says he can play the six technique, you know, on the right side of the defense and a three technique, kick down inside, so on and so forth. We know the Commanders need pass rush help. We know the Commanders need lots of things. It makes perfect sense. Would this be a grand slam? Would this be a home run, or would this be a solid rip double down the line or to the gaps, in your opinion, if it were to work out this way for the Commanders?
I would say definitely a home run. And I just want to preference this. I'm obviously not an NFL scout. Like, I wouldn't be here if that was the case. But
this just in, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, exactly.
AMAC is moonlighting.
Newsflash.
Should on I play his the NFL break- organization to run the show
should
for
I play
three
the,
hours.
Should I play the breaking news
yes.
sounder?
Yeah.
No, but I think that with working college in the morning, I get a good sense of not just because I love edge players as a college football fan and as an NFL fan, just a football fan in general. I love edge rushers. So I get to kind of like bounce my love for them off of people who actually evaluate and – talk to organizations and, you know, evaluate players themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And just for more context around this Reuben Bane situation, last year when Abdul Carter came out, I think myself and a lot of other people had this thought of Abdul is a very talented person off the edge who's like more of a finesse player. But once he gets hands laid on him, if he goes up, not even against just a run running block, run blocking tackle, even against a more physical tackle in the pass rush,
right,
if you can get hands on him,
a stouter tackle,
yes,
sure,
he does not do well with that.
And we've seen that play out for the most part this year, right?
Yes, there have been times this year where if you get hands on him, it just seems like he doesn't have enough moves on his back. Now,
maybe he will get better at that as he gets stronger and bigger and thicker. Maybe, hopefully.
Since college, he has gotten exponentially better at that, but he still has a long way to go. I say that to say Reuben Bane does not have that issue. like at all. He can get, I mean, he's 275.
Yep.
He can physically push you into the quarterback's lap. He can come around. He has incredible bend for a man that size. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps talking about him. He is.
Would that turn you into a Commanders fan?
It definitely turned me into a Reuben Bain fan.
Now, all right, real quickly, I love the passion. You were surprised that Arvell Reese was listed ahead of Reuben Bain.
Yes.
Why?
I think this is Arvell Reese's first kind of role as an edge. He was more of an off the ball linebacker last year. He still plays a lot of off the ball this year. And I look at him similarly that as I look at, to Abdul. Maybe a little bit more physical than Abdul at this point, but I still kind of put them in the same category where it's like I said, Reuben Bain is that guy where he's just well-rounded in all areas. He's a physical guy who can bounce inside, and he has still incredible moves and quickness off the edge.
I love the size, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because you could put him, theoretically, right, you could put him at 4-3 end, you know, you could line him up, you know, a 9 technique with a little more spread out. Again, we can talk about kicking him inside. Maybe he'd be a little undersized, but Aaron Donald was, what, 280?
Yeah,
285, somewhere in that range as an interior. I mean, Reuben Bain could just be a terror.
Yeah, I think that's a great. Now, again, I'm not an NFL scout. I don't want to say he's going to be Aaron Donald, but I think that's a great comp where it's like you look at Aaron Donald, he's a powerful guy who can still have that quickness and nimbleness in between the tackles or off the edge to beat you. I think that's the same way I look at Reuben Bain. Now, Arvell Reese is a great playmaker who seems like he has great instincts as a football player, so I'll give him that. But if you give me a choice between the two, I think no-brainer. And this may be just my love for edge players. I'm thinking no-brainer, Reuben Bain.
I think a lot of people would be happy with either or for the Commanders, but my guess is people would be really happy if certainly one of the two players drops to them, but if it worked out like this, where Bain, who is probably, like you just mentioned, is considered probably the safer of the, well, you didn't mention it like this, but the way I understood your analysis is that Bain is probably a little bit more of a safer, sure pick, whereas Reese has maybe more pure speed and athleticism, but also has a little bit more, I want to say helter-skelter in his game, but a little bit more development to go.
Yeah.
Right? Is that fair?
Yeah, I would say that.
I think
especially at the edge position.
Yeah, I think if Bain fell to number 7, I mean, we already told you what our colleague and pal Denton Day said. If Bain fell to that position, I think people would be super jacked up. And let's be honest, it also would help, depending on what Arvell Reese does for Ohio State in the playoffs, depending on, and I assume Miami will be in the playoffs, what Reuben Bain does for my, you know, that will be where people get to see these guys on a big time stage. You might not be watching every Miami game. Certainly, a lot of people watch a lot of Ohio State football, and certainly Miami's prominently featured. But
I don't know if Miami's going to make the playoffs.
I don't know either.
Yeah, it looks like an uphill battle for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe you don't get that.
But that may help the Commanders out, to your point.
Okay. So we'll see. I thought it was interesting. Am I missing something on Ty Simpson? I mean, I know he's had a good year. I got it. I know he's played well. 22 touchdowns, just a couple of picks. I didn't get to see the game this past Saturday that they lost.
Mm-hmm.
I did get to see that entire Florida State game at the beginning of the year. And granted, it was at the beginning of the year, and I know he's played well since then.
Yeah.
I don't sense NFL greatness there.
Yeah. I mean,
I sense fine. I don't sense greatness.
Yeah. I think you're kind of sniffing at the right area here. That was a crazy way to bring that in. But I think you're sniffing around the right area. I think that definitely the Florida State games, we could see he struggled. Mm-hmm. And then he had, like, up until that Oklahoma game last week, he had, like, just moments where it was looking like it was him. For me, I love Dante Moore. Mm-hmm. I think Dante Moore is just solidified as a good quarterback. Now, outside of Penn State, we haven't seen much. When it comes to competition, mm-hmm. like how well he would do against people blitzing and getting to him, pressuring him. But when we saw Ty Simpson against that Oklahoma defense this weekend, I mean, there were some good throws that he made, but there were just not only bad misses, but just bad decisions.
Inconsistency, yeah.
Yeah. So, and his coach, Kalen DeBoer, even said that, I think, after halftime, was talking about him just making better decisions as the quarterback. So, you talked about it when we came in here. A lot of people look at quarterbacks and try to see, like, the potential and the development path in them. But, like, was he ahead of Dante Moore or Fernando Mendoza in this?
Mendoza was traded up by the Jets to number one and went 1-1 overall.
Mm-hmm.
And Moore went number two to the Browns, who swapped spots with your Giants.
Okay, and then
2 and 3.
And then Ty went
five.
Yeah, see, I mean, just because of the trend of quarterbacks, and I can understand, like, right. that the power of that right. position.
Right.
I understand
the
that.
The Jets are going to take a quarterback. You think the Browns are going to take a quarterback, but what if Shador takes off here?
Yeah.
That could change,
mm-hmm.
right? The Raiders, you think, going to take quarterback? I mean.
Yeah, I think that they be wise to here. But, yeah, I'm with you, though. I think that he's had moments where he looks like an NFL quarterback and a Heisman contender, but you go against Oklahoma's defense led by Brent Venables, who, what a coach and what a defense that is. And you look like that, it does raise eyebrows a little bit.
The one pick that I would say that went behind Reuben Bain and in this projection and that Commanders fans are probably going to be clamoring for is Caleb Downs. He goes number 9 to the Arizona Cardinals in this mock. And again, it's a mock that's going to change a bazillion times. Now, Matt Miller says he's the number 1 player on his board. Okay. But Arizona might be another one of these teams that is looking to jump up for a quarterback, right? Looks like they're going to part ways with Kyler Murray. We know Jacoby Brissett is a veteran backup quarterback, not a long-term guy, right? So what if Arizona, say at 7, at 9, which is where they are right now, say Simpson is still out there. Let's say Simpson is still out there and the other two are gone, Dante Moore and Fernando Mendoza. Does Arizona move up? Remember yesterday, I think it was, or maybe it was Tuesday, I can't remember. We were talking about how the Commanders could move back from 7, but not move back that far, right? Still gain extra capital, whether it be a second round pick, which they don't have, a fourth round pick, which they don't have, maybe an extra third round pick to make up for no second round, whatever. Drop back like 1 or 2 spots, get some extra draft capital. And what if Arizona sees Simpson there at 7 and the Commanders look and say, all right, you know, we can get Reuben Bain there, but we're likely to get, you know, we could get him at 9. We could get Caleb Downs at 9. Or I guess, and I don't know much about him at this point, Falk from Auburn, something like that. You know, I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Speaking of college football, and I meant to ask you for this, so I'll give you a little heads up. Remember, we were talking about James Franklin yesterday and how he was, you know, he introduced and they brought him in Castle Coliseum and Enter Sandman and all that stuff, right? And he's been making the interview tour and, you know, doing all sorts of ESPN things. So you're a big college football guy. I love college football. Mm-hmm. I think this is a great hire for Virginia Tech. I have not seen anybody think it's a bad hire for Virginia Tech. Now, you can make the argument he never won big games at Happy Valley. Got it. I understand. Like, Virginia Tech hasn't played in big games.
Yeah, you're not going to be playing Ohio State and Michigan at Virginia Tech.
Right. Forget about it. A, it's the ACC, which, to your point, no Ohio State, no Michigan, no Indiana.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you could play those teams in the college football playoff and whatnot. Get there first.
Mm-hmm.
I believe.
Yeah.
With Clemson kind of.
They're taking a huge step.
Right.
They fell asleep.
And maybe Dabo's not back. I don't know.
Mm.
Miami, they're just. Never seems to be something right with Mario Cristobal in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
They always falter down the stretch, right?
Yeah.
Lose a game that they shouldn't, what have you.
Yeah.
North Carolina, we'll see what happens with Belichick, but hard to think that they're going to be a powerhouse. I mean, Virginia Tech could win the ACC in 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, James Franklin is really good.
Yeah.
He's a really good recruiter, and they are amping up their budget.
Yeah, I mean, I think people forget what he did at Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
like turn that, and then
that's
where
good point.
And where things were when he got to Penn State.
People think about Penn State; they don't think about Vanderbilt.
Yeah, and even at Penn State, I think he was 8-4 his first year, and then immediately double digit wins.
Yeah.
I have a question for you because we're coming up against it here, but I have a question for you. I'm pondering this. I don't know. How things went down at Penn State, James Franklin started winning and then built an expectation, and those expectations came back to haunt him, meaning that like he got to 10 wins and did that consistently, but then it became the big game thing. What do you think do you think those expectations will follow him to Virginia Tech? Like, he can win the ACC, but now it's going to be national championship. Do you think that those will come back to haunt him?
I think once he gets to that point, yes, it will rear its ugly head. Or if Virginia Tech, for whatever reason, starts off 6-0 or 5-0 or whatever next year, and then all of a sudden they're taking on, Miami, let's just say, and Miami's playing really well at the time and they're a top five, you know, like that's when it'll come back. But I think James Franklin and Virginia Tech he's going to have to get to an ACC championship game with a 2-loss or less record in order for that conversation to rear its ugly or that pressure or that expectation. I don't think it's fair to say, well, this is a bad hire for Virginia Tech because he doesn't win top five games.
Yeah.
Worry about doing what no coach, quite honestly, since Frank Beamer's prime, has been able to do at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
You got to rebuild, reload, recalibrate, re-everything, re-north that program to the point where people look at it as, hey, man, Virginia Tech is how we used to think of it as with Michael Vick,
mm-hmm.
with D'Angelo Hall, with the special teams, crazy, even Jim Druckenmiller or whatever, where people used to fear going into Blacksburg, where people we're trying to figure out, hey, man, how is Virginia Tech, little old Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, VA, doing this on a national level? Well, if you get a guy that can land harder to do than say, if you can get a guy that can land a Michael Vick-esque talent, right, that can look at what Indiana has done, right? Obviously hiring Cignetti, yes. But getting Fernando Mendoza made them, hey, Indiana's plucky and tough and on the way up. But now all of a sudden they are a national powerhouse.
Yeah, but I think that's a great example and kind of parallels to this question because I think Kirk Cignetti can have two seasons losing, right? And because it's Indiana and the expectations go, like that's the most losingest program in college football history. Kirk Cignetti immediately turned that around. I think that they'll give him grace and they'll be like, okay. But there's
you mean Frank? Oh,
Cignetti in Indiana.
Oh, if he would have had two,
if he would have two seasons and only win four games in those two seasons, Indiana will forgive him because of what he's done.
Gotcha.
How much of that leeway are we going to give to James Franklin?
So year one and year two is, let's just say, 4 wins and 5 wins, non-bowl eligible. I would say that there would be some frustration. Why isn't this going faster, quicker, better, stronger? But I would probably say that James Franklin would be given the benefit of the doubt for at least 2 years by most. But I would also say, you know, there would be some frustration towards the end of year two. All right, we got to take a timeout. I want to get into the new baseball media deal because that popped up after the show yesterday. Want to tackle that next. We still got Dumb Dumb of the Day to come on the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I was just having a little conversation with our guy, Daniel, one of our engineers around here. He's a big Falcons fan. I was like, Kirko, Kirko, Kirko. He's like, and he's a big Penix guy, right? And he's like, what about this scenario? He's like, we already know what Kirk Cousins is. What if the Falcons trade for Shedeur Sanders and bring him in? Like, under the thought that Shedeur Sanders at least is an unknown, a little bit of a wild card. I said, A, I'm not convinced that Shedeur Sanders is going to be any good. B, it's going to take him a couple of weeks. Now, he's scheduled to start Sunday in Vegas for the Browns. It's going to take him a couple of weeks to kind of process the Falcons system. Even if the Browns wanted to do this, which I'm not convinced that they would at this point, it would take him a couple of weeks, you would think, to onboard to the Falcons terminology system, what have you.
Saying this year.
Yeah. So what, I mean, so what, now, over the offseason, a little bit different. I guess he was talking about during the offseason.
That would make more sense.
Because it's past the trade deadline. My bad. Mm-hmm. I kind of misinterpreted that. My bad. So he would have time to learn the system for next year, I guess, is the point. All right, my bad. I screwed that up. Let's get a couple of calls in here, and then we'll break for the bottom of the hour. Oh, gosh, I didn't even see Jason. Laurel's been on hold for way too long. Jason, sorry about that, man. I didn't even see you on my screen here. I don't look all the time, and I apologize. How are you, pal?
Chris, you're fine. You're fine. No problem holding. You know, I listen to the show through my phone. I actually don't have a radio in my house. So listening on hold is actually easier.
Well, so, that is fair. I mean, that's how I listen, quite honestly. I don't have a radio. I mean, I do, but I don't listen through a radio in my house. I just listen on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, we don't have a radio at all. It's either computers or cell phones.
No, I get it.
So listen, Chris, thanks for taking my call. Love the show. Look, I'm going to disagree with you about the Jaden thing, and I want to say, you know, that I think biggest problem in our country right now. There's no civil discourse anymore. So we're going to have some civil discourse. So I disagree with you, but I'm not going to call you any names or scream or yell.
Unlike what I did. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a shot. It's okay.
I was trying to be as couth as I could. I didn't realize you were on this side.
I know you are. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
So almost unilaterally, everybody agrees he played in the Seattle game too long and he got hurt. Nationally, locally, everybody agrees. I mean, even the coach said, yeah, we should have brought him in. So everybody agrees, right? So in my opinion, you got to make a decision with him on a game-per-game basis. If the game's out of control, you should get him out of there. I also think it's fair to make that on a season basis. Hey, if there's no point in winning this game, well, why put him out there? Now, he's going to want to play. And by the way, that's one of the reasons I love him, and I think a lot of people love him. He's going to want to play, and this is a peculiar situation because he's probably already a little crusty because he's already on record that he wanted to play earlier when we held him out. So they do need to be careful with this because they don't want to upset the apple cart. But when this guy plays, he plays a very competitive style. In a preseason game, he's running around the goal line almost getting his head knocked off, right? And everybody's
running into a Bermuda Triangle. Yep.
Right. If we put him out, if we're 3-12 and we put him out there, there is nothing to gain. Now, I agree with you. There are holes in his game this year. 1,000% I agree with you. But I don't think he can fix those in two or three games at the end of the season. And what I'd say to that is we have 55 college tapes on this kid and 23 pro tips. They can do film study all off season. You're not going to fix anything, in my opinion, this year with him. And the one thing that worries me is if I don't know if you listen to Kevin's podcast, but he's had this guy kind of taking Cooley's place doing a film breakdown. The last time Jaden played, Suter said, and that's the guy doing the breakdown, that he was kind of concerned that Jaden was starting to hear footsteps and wasn't trusting his eyes because he had several examples where Jaden saw something and he didn't pull the trigger. He didn't trust what he saw. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe he didn't trust the receiver. Maybe he didn't trust the protection pack. Who knows, right? It's all conjecture. So I don't think you can gain anything by even putting him out there, but this is what I'd want to do. I'd want to sit him down. I'd want to sit his mom down. I'd want to sit Cliff down and say, listen, Jaden, we love you. We want you to play. But I don't think anything good can come out of the rest of this year. And we're not putting you on a pedestal, but we don't want to. We've been fortunate. You've had been beat up a little bit this year, but they're not season injuries, and nothing's going to hurt your development. Let's put this season to rest and come out next year with a healthy. And you know something? He hasn't even been able to practice with what is supposed to be our first string offense since minicamp.
Yeah. All right. So Jason, you brought up some really good points. Okay. And again, I want to be clear. I disagree respectfully. I think he should play. I think you can gain something from it. I think you can get better by playing football. I don't think you can get better purely by watching film or watching Marcus Mariota or whatever. That being said, I do understand your premise that, hey, we don't want anything bad to happen, number one, health-wise, okay? Number two, can you fix whatever it is that you determine needs to be fixed in one or two or three games? Depending on circumstances, a team would be eliminated, so on and so, you know, maybe there's more injuries, who knows? Maybe Laremy Tunsil's not, you just never know. Look, maybe I was too strong, but I would say to me, I always feel like you can get better by trying to fix the things that you need to fix by playing through them as opposed to watching or learning about them. You want to watch and learn, but you also need to play because if you say maybe he just didn't trust what he was seeing. Well, the only way he's going to be able to trust what he's seeing is by going through it. And by, say, like the play he got injured, he doesn't see Debo, or he doesn't either trust, for whatever reason, that he can squeeze that ball into Debo, or the timing, or he maybe he thinks better of it at the last moment against a, you know, so maybe he can see it better this time around, as opposed or anticipate it better this time around. Maybe there's no guarantee of that, and it could look really ugly, and we could all go into the offseason going, oh God, man, did he really regress? That's possible. Or God forbid, he could get hurt and hurt significantly and lose an entire, you know, offseason of development and half of or more of next year. And there is risk involved in it. I get it. So if that's the perspective you're coming from, I do understand it. You know me, I sometimes get a little...
No, you're fine. If I can just leave you one last thing and I let it go, because I also thought the A.J. Brown thing was interesting. I think Commander fans ought to look at this very intently. They have a great roster, but they don't have a good blend of people that fit together. Fortunately, I'm knocking on my head here because it's wood. This team that the Commanders have put together, and while we're not nearly talented enough, everybody meshes and gets together pretty well. I think what you're seeing in Philly is when you just grab talent and you don't grab to see if your pieces fit together. I'd take A.J. Brown if the powers that be thought he would fit on this team. I don't know if he would or wouldn't. But again, this ownership group, this collection of coaches and GMs, they've said they're not just grabbing talent, they're grabbing people. You know, I want to know the player before I know the man and all this stuff. So that's just my opinion. Chris, love the show.
I got you.
And
thank you,
Jason. Take care, buddy.
Appreciate you. As always, always good to hear Jason's perspective. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll grab John in Rockville on the other side. John, hang in there. And then we will do Dumb Dumb of the Day. First, a trending alert right here, right now. Team 98. Oh, we took it out. Okay, sorry about that. My bad. Let's take a time out so we sort of stay on schedule.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, I still want to get in a couple of quick thoughts on the baseball media rights deal. I'm not a big media person, and ratings I don't care about at all. But I do want to get in a couple of thoughts because I was doing some reading on that last night. But first, let's get to John in Rockville so we make sure we get him in here. John, thanks for being patient. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I want to say I heard the whole Virginia Tech James Franklin conversation, and thought was very interesting. I think it was absolutely a home run hit for Virginia Tech because they've not only fallen on hard times in terms of wins and losses, people are staying away from the stadium in droves.
Yeah. I think leaving really early too. Leaving really early. Like a lot of students are leaving in the first quarter.
Right. And Franklin, not only did he recruit Maryland the DMV well, he had recruited 703 and 804 in Virginia for Penn State. So he's going to be able to recruit the Commonwealth and the DMV just like he always did. I think one thing that's going to be really significant, I don't know that much, I don't follow the particulars of it that much, but a lot of people forget the last few years that Frank Beamer was at Virginia Tech, the dew was going off the lily already. They were no longer a national contender. Part of it was they had a really unfortunate stretch there where they had an extraordinary number of players get in trouble with the law in 1 year. It was like 17 guys 1 year. And they always used to take a hit on a lot of these, you know, rivals and scouts and 247 message boards that they were getting kids into school that other ACC schools couldn't. And Tech did two things. One, they stopped giving Beamer as many academic exceptions, and they also put in a whole standard of conduct, zero tolerance. They were tired of having the football program look like the Blacksburg police blotter. And all of a sudden, Beamer was not getting all the guys he used to get. So kind of like I'm assuming that, you know, these are kind of things that coaches, they don't reach the paper when there's a negotiation between a high-profile coach and an organization. I'm sure Frank was probably received, you know, some assurances that, you know, you'll be able to get the kids that you want as long as you know, you're willing to kind of swear by them. But I thought it was a home run hire, and Lord knows the ACC is a hell of a lot easier league to win than the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So I think he'll do very well.
No,
thanks a lot.
I agree. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it, John. I don't remember Virginia Tech being – oh, you were going to ask him a question, and I
– No, it's fine. It's fine. If John wants to, like, just – I'm because I'm curious. If Franklin's career matches that of Penn State, like, we know Virginia Tech has this rich history. I'm curious as to how soon is James Franklin going to be a prisoner of his own success, like it was at Penn State. And I think that's a big thing.
Basically, what you're saying is if there's a reasonable parallel, right, and say he averages, let's just argue, 9 wins a year.
Yeah, 9-10, yeah.
9-6-7 or no?
Okay.
Let's just say 9.5 wins a year, right? Mm-hmm. Some years 9, some years 10, whatever. And let's say James Franklin is at Virginia Tech for 8 years, just using that as an argument. And he makes the college football playoff, which right now is 12, but might be even expanding, I don't know, three times out of those 8 years.
Yeah.
Is that going to be considered a success?
Yeah, that's why I'm concerned about, or not concerned about, but I'm curious about as a college football fan, because I certainly remember, you know, Mike and Marcus Vick playing at Virginia Tech and the tradition and history that program has, especially when it comes to recruiting in this area.
I would say the scenario that I laid out, if he averages 9.5 wins a year, which not easy, even in the ACC, if he averages 9.5 wins a year and say the college football playoff stays at 12, let's just for argument, which sounds like they're going to expand it again. I don't know.
I hope not.
But let's just say it stays at 12 and he's there 8 years and they make the college football playoff 3 years out of 8.
Yeah.
And doesn't matter when or whatever. I mean, to me, that's a success.
It's
I know if you fall short of winning a national championship, I know that you could be considered a failure if you don't win top five games, especially at home, which was part of the problem that Franklin and Penn State lost top five games at home, not necessarily on the road. If you restore what Virginia Tech used to be, but fall short ultimately of winning a national championship, and maybe even if you continue to struggle against some top five schools, and say you win one or two, but you know you're 2-8 against top five schools by the time you know 8 years is coming on. To me, you're not restoring what Virginia Tech was in its heyday with Michael Vick under Frank Beamer. You're restoring what it's become under Brent Pry. Under, what's his name, from Memphis, Justin Fuente.
You're saying he's doing better or worse?
He would be doing much better than those guys. But what I'm saying is you're trying to restore the program from where it has been, but not where it used to be 20-plus years ago.
And I think that's a normal thinking thought, but he just got fired from Penn State after coming off a semifinal. So I think that, and I hear, like, there's people calling for Josh Heupel's job in Tennessee. You know, with the college football playoff now and just my experience working in college football, a lot of fans call in as in the college football playoff is their barometer. Like, he can't get to the college football playoff, he needs to be fired. And we another example, I know this is a little different, but Brian Kelly in LSU.
Yeah.
He perpetually won 9 games, 8 games, but could never get to the college football playoffs in the top of the SEC, and now he's out of there.
I would say this. Franklin wasn't fired at Penn State because he lost to Oregon or because he lost to Ohio State at home last year late. He was fired because they lost back-to-back games to UCLA and Northwestern by 20 plus points. I don't think Chip Kelly was fired at LSU because he couldn't even. Yes, part of the frustration was couldn't make the college football playoff, but because their offense was horrible, right, and was getting worse, not better, horrible, right. So I think coaches are fired, like. I get what you're saying. The fan mentality is, wait a second, they're not making the college football playoff, which means they're not in the top, essentially the top 12 teams in the country. They deserve to get fired. I don't think that's what a lot of ADs use as their barometer. But like I said, James Franklin losing back-to-back games to UCLA and Northwestern by 20-plus points, that is unforgivable.
Yeah.
Chip Kelly, the way that LSU offense was performing and the fact that he hadn't made the playoffs and the fact that, you know, that he struggled in season opening game, all of that combined, but it was really the temperature at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
if James Franklin in year two or year three is averaging 6 wins a year in his first 2 years at Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do what Maryland does every year. Starts off 3-0, 4-0, whatever, in year three, right? And the arrow seemingly is pointing up. And then they take on a top five team and they get annihilated. And then they lose back-to-back games after that to Coastal Carolina and Wofford, right? That's where James Franklin's going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
Not because he can't beat a top five team,
but that's
not because he doesn't restore the tradition from 20 years ago.
Yeah, but that's you said 6-7. I think that's the again. Stop doing that. I think that's the key issue. Like, how much grace are Virginia Tech fans willing to give him? They gave him none at Penn State. Like, yeah, you can say sit here and say right. top five wins. Penn State wasn't ever like a national championship banister program.
They were under Joe Paterno.
One or two national championships?
I mean, in the glory days, Penn State was in, you know,
and when
contention
was that?
For the national championship
and,
every year.
And when was that?
I mean...
Like the 80s?
No. I mean, even in well into the 90s. I mean, Kerry Collins and that Rose Bowl team, was that 96? I mean, things started to get a little wonky after that.
It's been a while. Penn State is not in the same category as like Ohio State.
No, I would agree with that.
Yeah. So
but Virginia Tech, I mean, is not in the same lexicon as Penn State or Michigan or Ohio State or whatever. Like every situation is a little bit different.
And that's what I'm interested in. It's like,
yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's just like, I think if you expect James Franklin to come in and win 10 games each and every year and make the college football playoff each and every year and win a national championship in his first 4 or 5 years in Blacksburg, I think you have the wrong expectation. Not you. I'm just saying you as a booster, you as an alum, you as a fan, whatever. I think if that's your expectation, then that's stupid.
Okay. That's what I'm getting at.
If your expectation is James Franklin is going to get us back into contention for the college football playoff every year and be a top recruiter and bring top Michael Vick-esque type D'Angelo Hall-esque talent back to Blacksburg, which they haven't had enough of, then I think James Franklin is going to be fine. I think there's a different level at Penn State versus Virginia Tech, even though at one point Virginia Tech was absolutely a national powerhouse.
$50 million, Rooster.
Maybe once again, it will get back there. We will see. Dumb Dumb of the Day next, right here to wrap up the show on a Thursday on the Team 980. All right, this one is kind of sad and kind of ridiculous. Unfortunately, a nice civilian, I did not know him, but based on everything I read, very nice young man, 53-year-old Jason Hay, unfortunately passed away this week of cardiac arrest in Portland, Oregon. He was known as, you know, again, a very, very nice man, very friendly to everybody in the Portland, Oregon community. He was working at a liquor store. And he suffered cardiac arrest, and he died a week later, 53 years old, again. And another employee jumped in right away to help him, and this was all seen on video. And customers raced around to help the fallen Hay. And one man in particular jumped over the counter, was dressed in a red hoodie, and acted like he was trying to help the fallen victim. He was in a black jacket, red hoodie. And then, while allegedly trying to check his pulse, the unidentified man patted the indisposed employee looking for a wallet. The other employee called out to customers to grab the fallen victim's bag before he was placed in an ambulance. At that point, the thief didn't go in the ambulance, didn't leave the store. Nope. What did he do? He went to the back room of the store and began to rob the store. That's right. He stuffed bags of cash down his pants from the store safe, which was left open. According to surveillance footage, he went into the back office, started piling stuff in, said the store manager. Again, they found the open chain safe. They saw it on video. He took approximately $800 from the store and escaped before anybody noticed. They still haven't found him because they didn't get a good shot of his face. He was dressed again in a hoodie. And unfortunately, the victim, the 53-year-old civilian who was working at the store, passed away. And again, this all triggered a robbery, a burglary, while a man was fighting for his life. You got to be kidding me. We can't be this bad as a society. We can't be. And yet we are. Here we are. Unreal. We'll have to get more into it tomorrow. I didn't get a chance to really get to it. The baseball media rights deal is like $800 million a year or something like that between three entities, ESPN, NBC, which is NBC and Peacock, and Netflix. Netflix is going to get the Home Run Derby, which has been on ESPN forever, an opening night exclusive game, and a Field of Dreams game, and the World Baseball Classic in Japan. ESPN is really kind of reposturing its baseball coverage, and there's going to be too many games only on an app that you can't flip around channels for, and it's going to drive me crazy. We'll do more, hopefully, tomorrow on that, because baseball ratings and ratings in sports in general are way higher with this new big ratings plus data plus thing that they're doing. But not enough time to get into it today. Thanks to AMAC. Thanks to you. For being a part of the show. Linnell Willingham is next with Burgundy and Gold today. I'll see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. All things AMAC and all of our picks straight ahead.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.